Locally sourced news and info to drive you home.
Local news is like the most important stuff to me.
Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Joining me in the studio is David Worley. He is a candidate for mayor of Pocatello. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. I see some pictures here from your kickoff event last night. You had a large turnout of people, so that must have been exciting. How did that go?
Yeah, there was a lot of energy there. We had between 180 and 200 people, and it was a packed house. It was really great to see the outpouring from the community.
Okay, great. That's good to hear. Let's hear. You've got an interesting backstory, and let's talk just about where you're from originally.
Yeah, so I'm from Pocatello, born and raised. And, you know, grew up in town. My wife and I are both Pocatello Indian alumni.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just love the city, grew up there. I would consider it home.
You're right.
And then I joined the Army at age 17.
Wow.
And actually joined the 1st of the 148. That's the National Guard unit there in Pocatello.
Mm-hmm.
Did my first tour overseas to Iraq with that unit. And then served a mission for my church, came back.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara and I got married shortly after that. So my wife and I... then moved to Virginia.
Okay.
And spent 12 years there.
Mm.
And while I was there, I was in the Virginia Army National Guard. And over the course of my time there, spent 12 years on and off on active duty through my military career with the Guard. And then, you know, Virginia took a turn. And one of the reasons why we left Virginia was because the state, you know, when we moved there was, you know, kind of a swing state. The Republicans had control, you know, for most of the time. And then
it seemed pretty sane at one point, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fairly normal state, and we actually had a lot of freedom there. I mean, this is the state that gave us, you know, Jefferson, Washington, and the Virginia government was very stable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the election of Governor Northam. Some may know him as Blackface Northam.
Yes.
And the Democrats took the legislature, so they had trifecta control for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw just in the short time they took over a full court press on every freedom in the state.
Yeah.
At one point, the governor and his allies' legislature even tried to ban, you know, 70% to 80% of the guns in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. There was a huge rally.
Yes. 40,000 Virginians showed up armed in the Capitol. I mean, literally pushed the state. Now, I would argue to the brink of civil war. That was how bad the political division was.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of saw the state drifting in a way that we didn't, you know, we're unsure if we wanted to raise our children there. So we thought, hey, well, let's come back home.
Right.
So let's go back to Idaho where we grew up and, you know, hopefully it's still free there.
Yeah.
And we get back here and we see a lot of the same things. You know, the lockdowns were imposed. You see the mask mandate. And we saw a lot of the same restrictions that had grown in Virginia. And we saw also what eventually, like you talked about before, you know, the Democrats would love to turn us into Colorado. Well, one of the reasons why the Democrats were able to flip Virginia is because of years of weak Republican leadership.
Right.
Refusing to govern according to conservative principles, to govern in accordance with the
middle of the road, aw shucks type of conservatism.
Yeah, and a lot of stuff you see here with you know, some people in the GOP leadership here, you know, very corporatist.
Yes.
Looking after a narrow set of interests instead of looking after the people as a whole and looking out for their own base. You know, this is an overwhelmingly red state with, you know, traditional values. And what we see happening here is the same thing that happened in Virginia.
So you've seen it happen.
Saw the flip.
Right.
And what led to that flip was years of wasted opportunities from senior Republican leaders in Virginia who could have put protections in place to prevent the emergence of tyrannical government power and squandered the goodwill of the people. Matter of fact, they raised taxes more. The biggest tax hike we had in Virginia was under a Republican governor.
Wow.
So I think that if you have weak leadership, it creates that – it opens that door for the Democrats to come in and then eventually flip a state. So we came here and kind of see a lot of the same conditions, and then we decide, you know what? This is our home. This is where I grew up. And so we're going to plant our flag and try and fight for Idaho, try and fight for our home.
Absolutely.
Protect our freedoms here.
On a local scale.
Exactly.
And so that's been kind of the theme of your campaign, I take it.
Yes. So, you know, if you look at Pocatello, it's got various issues, but I would kind of boil it down to three things to focus on for the campaign. We'll focus on for, you know, my term as mayor, assuming I win.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing that struck me when I got here was I think that there may have been an initial response to COVID that was justified.
Okay.
We didn't know what this was. No one had heard of a COVID anything.
Brand new.
And a lot of us
sure.
were caught flat-footed, and I totally understand the initial response.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got months into this and it became clear that this was not the bubonic plague,
yeah,
you know, it obviously, you know, was dangerous to very specific demographics,
mm-hmm.
the elderly, people with comorbidities, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But our city council and the mayor used this pandemic, I believe, as a justification to shut the people out of the public decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to go and engage in public comment on any issue, specifically issues of controversy like the mask mandate that Pocatello had,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're basically shut out. And they got the police out there, you know, like bouncers at a club or something,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that very few people could get in. Public mm-hmm. comment is very limited. And we all know that Zoom is not a true substitute.
Right, it's not.
For actually getting the people together.
Interaction.
So, you know, the first thing I think we need in Pocatello is more transparency and accountability
mm-hmm.
in the true sense that the people own City Hall. They should never be shut out of it, and the people should not be shut out of public decision-making processes, especially when it's an issue of controversy.
Right.
When it's a controversial issue, you need more public comment, not less. So that's the first point. The second one is everybody in Pocatello. I have not talked to a single person who said, well, actually, I think we are taxed at exactly the right amount. So if you look at Pocatello's overall statistics, you know,
right.
we have the lowest median income of any city in Southeast Idaho, any city or town.
Yes.
But we pay the highest in property taxes per citizen.
Yes.
Of any city or town.
And there's been quite a bit of blowback towards that. How do you think the city has responded to
So this goes back kind of to the first point.
Uh-huh.
I think that there has been it's very difficult. I mean, you just had a guest on earlier who pointed out how even if you're doing this as practically a part-time job like the people at Page do, or if you're on the city council. So this is something that I will agree with some of the other candidates in the race, that it is very hard to figure out how the city spends its money.
Right.
You know, where does the money go and how exactly is it used is very difficult. So if the city council has trouble figuring it out, I can't imagine, you know, what the average citizen is going to do when you're trying to pour over these reports. I've tried to look over some of these things myself.
Yeah.
And to see where the money is going is very difficult. So, but how do you need to respond to it? I think mm-hmm. it's pretty clear just by looking at how taxes have grown. So taxes have grown every single year for the past 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time Vlad's been in office. And he campaigned on actually lowering taxes when he first campaigned, you know.
Okay.
That's a long time ago.
And this is, he's third term?
Three terms in, he's asking
yes.
for a fourth. We've had tax increases every single year, but the population of Pocatello has only grown by about 3,000 people.
Uh-huh.
So how can we possibly justify how much money we're spending if we don't have a population that's growing to match it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we need to take a hard look at the budget and assess which programs are essential, non-essential,
mm-hmm.
and look at where we can make smart cuts. Nothing that we have to be draconian about. A lot of people are concerned that we're, you know, you're going to fire, you know, half the city's
employees. There was an issue with a city councilwoman, and she took the liberty of finding out everyone's job descriptions, how much they made, and was
It's like this hit list.
That happened like a month and a half or so ago.
I think that you can right size the government through natural attrition, but mm-hmm. the point is that the spending must come down in order to reduce taxes. And even here, I'll say, even though there's some other candidates in the race who are kind of running on a fiscal hawk platform,
right?
No one else has said that they actually intend to lower the rate, that they actually want to bring the tax rate down. I'm the only candidate in this race who's saying, no, we don't just need to get spending under control to live within our means.
Mm-hmm.
We are spending too much, and we are already taking too much money from the people. We got to remember that every dollar that the city spends
mm-hmm.
is a dollar it has to take from the citizens.
Right.
And right now we're just taking too much. We don't have the tax base to support the budget. So the spending has to come down so tax rates can come down. Now, we don't control the whole problem, obviously. A lot of people have recognized that even if you bring the rate down, you know, the county is assessing the property value of people's homes. And a lot of people's property has been assessed in a completely unrealistic way.
Okay.
You know, I know people who, you know, own a $200,000 home and they had an assessment and now they claim that their house is worth, you know, $150,000, $200,000 more.
Wow.
And if
have you looked into how they're assessing it at all, or that's just...
So I'm not sure exactly what the formula they're using is. Mm-hmm. I think that what they think they're going to be able to do here and what they're justifying it as, because there is some obvious inflation. We've seen it all over the state,
sure.
all over the West.
Yeah, especially
you know, you
yeah,
have
housing.
The California exodus
yep.
is driving up the price of homes. So theoretically, right. your house is worth more.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on a fixed income or you don't intend to leave, you look at wages haven't gone up to match the supposed increase in the value of my home.
Right.
So if you're working the same job you were working 2 years ago at about the same wage, mm-hmm. but now your house is worth supposedly twice as much more because demand for housing has driven the price of the house up and the value of the house, that value isn't real to you. It doesn't matter to you. All it means is now you're paying more taxes, even though your income hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
So those are some issues at the county level that I cannot directly influence as mayor. But one mm-hmm. thing I will not do, which I would argue the current leadership has been, is silent about that problem. And I'll be directly confronting the county on this issue.
Okay. All right. So.
So then the last point, and I think this is also what separates me from the other candidates in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in the founder's vision for government. I believe what we read in the Declaration of Independence. American government has a very simple formula, but this is the foundation for every level of government. Our rights come from God. The purpose of government is to protect those rights, and it can only exercise powers to protect those rights by the consent of the governed. This is the essence of American government. And I think we need to bring that back into every level, including something like your mayor's office.
Right.
Because when you look at the response to COVID-19,
yes.
what we're talking about here is not a division between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, or those who mask or don't mask. It's a division between those who will use the force of the government or corporate entities to force you to make those decisions.
Right.
To compel you. I think that there is a broad-based support for leaving these decisions to individuals. If you want to wear a mask.
Right.
Some people think they work, some people think they don't. If you've done the risk analysis and you believe you should get the vaccine, then get the vaccine. But if you've done the analysis the other way and you don't want it, no government entity should put its thumb on the scale, let alone their boot on your throat,
mm-hmm.
to make you do any of these things. Last time I checked, this is still the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we have rights to control what goes in our bodies.
Right.
And as your mayor, tell the people of Pocatello, I will never use city resources to enforce any unconstitutional mandate or law. I don't care if that's from Joe Biden. I don't care if that's from the governor's mansion in Idaho. I won't do it. And beyond that, I think that we need to push back against these unconstitutional federal mandates, not just with lawsuits. Lawsuits are cheap, honestly. What that really means when a politician says, hey, we're going to sell this in the courts, that means I am punting this to the judicial branch because I don't actually want to exercise the powers of my office to protect my people.
Right.
I want to outsource this to another branch of government.
That's really what the can down the road.
Yes,
sure.
That's really what they say every time.
Yeah.
When in reality, we could stop this right now. Governor Little and the legislature could pass a law similar to what you see in Montana or Florida, but even something I would like to see with more teeth, that prohibits employers from making vaccination status a condition of employment.
Right.
Because let's be honest, corporate tyranny isn't any better than government tyranny.
No.
Matter of fact, in some ways, corporate tyranny is worse because you can't vote the CEOs out of office.
Right. Yet they are doing the government's bidding. So
exactly. And this is where, you know, people talk about what we can't regulate the private sector. Well, wait a minute. Where was that mentality when we were shutting down everybody's businesses?
Right.
So when any Republican or anybody, you know, goes up there and says, oh, you know, I'm a free market guy. We can't tell the private sector what to do.
Like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Then why last year were you telling everybody to close their businesses?
Exactly.
So you can impoverish people, but you can't protect our rights? That's a BS answer.
And you've probably seen a lot of small businesses just in Pocatello suffering because of COVID-19 lockdowns and mandates. We're going to take a break, talk about that a little bit. When we come back, more with David Worley, candidate for Pocatello mayor.
As the day wraps up, she's just getting revved up. Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Having a good discussion here with David Worley. He is candidate for mayor of Pocatello. Big rally last night for his kickoff campaign, so it's great to talk to him. Welcome back to the show. We were talking over the before the break, then during the break, we were talking a little bit about the effect of these lockdowns on small businesses. I heard a report from Fox News Business 2 days ago, and 40% of small businesses across America have shut their doors since the beginning of, well, the whole pandemic. 40%. So small businesses are suffering. I'm sure you've seen that where you're at in Pocatello. Let's talk about the current mayor, Brian Blad. Do you feel any of his policies would differ from yours in how lockdowns and mandates were handled and small business?
So I think what we've seen out of the current city leadership is that basically they're a conduit for whatever comes from the federal government or the state government. I mean, look on the city's website, look at things they put out over the past few months. It's CDC says this, Department of Health says this, the governor has said that.
Yeah.
And this goes back to, again, a fundamental difference between my governing philosophy and the other candidates in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So again, back to the founder's vision. We have, by design, three levels of government.
Yes.
And if you think about it this way, the federal government, the national government, protects your rights from foreign enemies. The state government was intended to protect you from the federal government if necessary. And the last line of defense actually is your local government. And unfortunately, we put way too much emphasis on the national government and not emphasis
Absolutely.
On what's happening at the local level.
Absolutely,
because
we do.
Because the federal government, as big as it is,
right.
doesn't really have the ability to enforce its mandates, its laws, its regulation without the compliance of states and local government. So I'm going to bring that vision to the city of Pocatello. And it doesn't matter who issues another lockdown for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be enforced in the city of Pocatello if I'm mayor. Because this idea, just think about this idea, that some businesses are essential or not essential, that is a completely bogus concept. Because, sure, you can say, well, you know what? Everyone can grow their hair out a little bit. No one needs a haircut during
right.
this time period. You know, is it really essential to have someone cut your hair? And people can kind of rationalize that away. But wait a minute. Let's think about that barber who owns that property. He still has to pay property taxes. He still has to pay bills. He still has to put food on his table.
Right.
The fact of the matter is no business is non-essential. Every job is essential. Because every business and every job puts food on somebody's table. And when you have any level of government either create the policy at the state or at the local level enforce it, what you're basically telling people is you don't get to retain control of your property, and we're going to control it for you, and we're going to impoverish you. Hence all the businesses closing.
Yeah.
Last time I checked in our Constitution, you cannot deprive anyone of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Where was the due process of law that shut down all of these businesses, ruined some family businesses that have been in existence for generations, wiped out in a period of months or less than a year? That is beyond unconstitutional. It is immoral. And under my leadership as mayor, we will never impose lockdowns again, no matter who tries to impose them. Because that goes back again to the founder's vision. Local government is supposed to protect your God-given rights, no matter where the threat comes from. And if more people had that mentality at the local level, It would make these type of tyrannical mandates unenforceable throughout our country.
Okay, let's talk about how you're going to get this message out. Because what we have going on right now is there's some people that might say, well, we don't really have to worry about lockdowns in the future. Maybe I think it's certainly an issue that we have to worry about from here on out. And you have to find out someone's stance on that when they're running for office. So kudos for you for taking a stand on that, certainly. How do you plan to get that message out to Pocatello?
So we've been having events around the city. Mm-hmm. Some are small, just in people's homes, or they invite their friends and their family to come listen. I'm obviously going door to door. I have volunteers that are going door to door. And obviously media engagements like this.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty robust online presence that's growing by the day.
Mm-hmm.
After our campaign kickoff event, you know, we picked up, you know, dozens more likes, shares, and groups across the city, large and small. Some of these groups that, you know, posted stuff from us now have 10, 20,000 members even in their groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a pretty robust social media presence helping get us get the message out. But, you know, I want to go back to, you know, your question there. Some people will say, hey, isn't the COVID-19 thing winding down?
Right.
You know, is this really an issue to campaign on? Well, let's look at other parts of the world. If we don't push back and we don't make it clear that mm-hmm. this will not stand in the United States, let's look at other places in the world that we consider to be part of the free world, like Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, Australia right now is basically a COVID police.
Right. It's like the world's largest prison. I mean, that's
yeah. And we
essentially
can,
where it is.
How long we considered them, you know, part of the Anglosphere, you know, part of the free world.
Absolutely.
And
part of the Western, you know, democracy, republic, what have you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're allied with these people against, you know, the Japanese in World War II. I mean, these are the long-standing
allies. And now they're building wellness camps to hold people to make sure they don't test positive for COVID.
Exactly. So yeah. I think that we need to get out of the mentality that it can't happen here. Mm-hmm. And then let's say even that COVID-19 is winding down. If we look over the past year, we have had one crisis after another, yeah. whether it was the BLM and Antifa riots
mm-hmm.
that were all over the nation last year. And if COVID ceases to be an effective tool, they're just going to dream up another crisis. They're already talking right. about doing the same things they did for COVID, but justifying it using climate change. So
yeah.
I think we have to get in the mentality that there is a portion of our political elite, and it's bipartisan. It's not just the Democrats
sure.
at the national level, that want to transform the United States
mm-hmm.
into a fundamentally different form of government. That's what we're seeing really from the Biden administration.
Oh, yeah.
Is they're playing their hand and showing that they have zero respect for our republic and want mm-hmm. to transform it into something more like would be akin to, you know, the Chinese oligarchy model.
Right.
You know, so these assaults are going to keep coming, whether it's mm-hmm. going to be COVID or whether it's going to be some other issue, whether it's at some point it's going to be the Second Amendment that's going to come under attack. So I think we need to look at our local governments and our state governments mm-hmm. and say, we need leaders in positions of authority who will commit and will actually act to defending our freedoms, regardless of what that threat may be. And unfortunately, when you look at the people in Pocatello, or leaders of Pocatello,
mm-hmm.
what they exposed during COVID-19 is that they are just not the people we need for this time in American history.
Right.
When there was a crisis, when there was pressure to compromise the freedom of the people, they caved, and they did it. And in my opinion, that means they're unfit for office for the time in which we live.
I see. So you think people definitely need a reality check and to be honest with themselves about the times we live in.
Yes.
And then elect leaders accordingly.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you today, David Worley. It's been a fascinating conversation. I appreciate your time, and I hope the campaign goes well, and I hope we can talk again very soon and check in.
All right. Thank you.